Welcome to Let's Talk Death, conversations to inform and inspire. Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a nonprofit providing the tools and resources to support one's journey with grief. We seek to empower individuals to achieve a healthy post-bereavement growth. Everything we do is inspired by our core belief that no one should ever grieve alone. Let's Talk Death is a series of conversations with some amazing people from various fields. Our goal through these conversations is to normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief. Hello, welcome to this episode of Let's Talk Death. I'm Fran Solomon.
And I'm Andy McNeil.
And we're thrilled to be your hosts for these conversations.
Our guest today is John Abraham. John Abraham is an Episcopal priest and certified fellow in thanatology. He has over 40 years of experience working in death education as a counselor, therapist, patient care advocate, and healthcare administrator. He is also the author of How to Get the Death You Want, a practical and moral guide, and has published numerous articles in journals, newsletters, magazines, and newspapers, reflecting his commitment to the disciplines of death, dying, and bereavement. John is founder and president of Choice and Dignity, Inc., a Right to Die nonprofit organization offering end-of-life advocacy and information about life's end. He is a graduate of the Petty School, Colgate University, and Virginia Theological Seminary, with a commitment to continuing education through various venues. He has taught death education to undergraduates and presently teaches adults through the University of Arizona's Adult Education Program. John, we are delighted to have you as a guest on our show.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be had.
So, John, can you share with our audience if you've had a personal death loss that has helped shape your professional path?
I can, but I really don't have much to share. I have had friends die. You know, as a priest, I've been retired from the church now for 25 years or more. But when I interviewed for various positions, they would always ask, what do you like best about your work? What do you like least? The least was always burying my friends, you know. But I did not have an immediate family member die. I led a very sort of protected and overprivileged childhood. So there was no immediate family experience, really. Of course, family died. My parents are now deceased. I still miss them very much. My grandparents are all deceased and so on. But and I got into it. You want to know how I got into
this?
Yeah. I found myself as a priest. Here I was counseling people who had lost someone, and almost all counseling was loss related, whether it was, you know, divorce, kids leaving the nest, moving, changing jobs. Anyway, but here I was burying people, counseling people, and I didn't know a damn thing about what I was doing. Seminary did a good job with theology and biblical studies and learning about the Episcopal Church, but not that. And so I decided, well, I need to know more about this. So I joined ADEC. I believe I joined the first year it was formed and went to all of their conferences, made it my business to learn about death and dying. And, you know, and I thought, hey, it's 100% relevant. This issue is not going to go away. And then I learned most really by teaching at Auburn University. Way back in the 70s, I started death education there, and there were only two or three university death education programs in the country at that point. The big challenge was persuading the university to offer it, which they did, but I called a couple people who were doing it and put together my own curriculum and got going with that, taught juniors and seniors, undergraduates, and I learned a whole lot doing that.
That was a great segue, John. Your writing takes a holistic perspective, taking into account the physical, the psychological, and the spiritual dimensions of challenging end-of-life issues. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, yes. It's I don't know where to go with telling you more about that. It's holistic. I try to take into account all kinds of factors. You know, one thing I've been working on lately, I haven't had much success. Maybe you know of a resource, but I haven't had much success in finding good research that shows what the impact is of various kinds of death. The organization I'm with now, I work with Choice and Dignity, as you said. I say work, I volunteer almost full time, and we're Right to Die. And those who die through us, yes, you can call it suicide. We don't. We call it, my favorite phrase is deliberate life completion. But those are those who deliberately end their lives. And we do have a program coming up where we're going to have survivors talk about the impact of that. But I'm wondering what, if there's any good studies of what the impact of different kinds of death are, car crash, other scenarios.
Interesting. Andy?
Well, I was just going to say there are some journal articles that are written on different types of death losses. Certainly there's a good bit written on suicide loss, homicide, death, all of those types of things. I'll tell you what I can do is I'll send you a few links maybe to some of those articles. What's interesting to me, though, as far as research goes, I think that the end of life, death, dying, and bereavement field has a lot of folks who have done a lot of different research, but it hasn't gotten the same level of awareness as maybe some other particular issues get. And maybe it's the issue of death. I don't know what that might be. But it's interesting to me, years ago, probably about 20 years ago, I made a statement in a presentation. I said, you know, there's just not a lot of research out there on death, dying, and bereavement. And I was corrected by a couple of the really large researchers in our good researchers in our field. And they said, Andy, there is research. The issue is people just don't know about it. Yeah, and I was a perfect example that they didn't know that it was there. But there is research. It exists. Yeah,
I would appreciate your sending me a link. I have looked up homicide, suicide. But and, you know, if somebody had told me in the 70s when I started teaching it at university, that we would still be such a massively death phobic society, death denying culture, I never would have believed it, but we are. And the topic just doesn't come up. And what struck me about your program, Let's Talk Death, one of our most successful, we offer a number of different programs, but one of the more heavily attended is what we call small group social gatherings. And we limit it to 25 or 30 people. We break them into groups of four or five in each group. They go for about 20 minutes. Then we take a break. Then they can stay in the same group or join another group. We go again for 20, 25 minutes. And we provide index cards with about 20, 30 questions they might want to consider, but they can discuss whatever they want. But it's simply an opportunity to talk about death and dying, which we don't otherwise do.
Interestingly enough, and I've said this many times, we don't talk about death and dying, but we entertain ourselves by it. Most of our movies are death themed, whether it's a violent movie or it's just a movie about someone dying and people picking their lives back up. I mention it a lot. All of our children's movies, just about everyone has a bereaved child or a bereaved main character. Most of our superheroes are bereaved. They've dealt with the death of a mom or a dad or both. Spider-Man, Superman, Disney princesses, they're all bereaved. Cinderella's with her stepmom, her birth mom died, you know, so on and so forth. It's interesting to me that if you look into it, I've often wondered is it that we're death denying or is it that we're terrified of it? And so we just, you know, we like to observe it from afar, you know,
what
happens to other people, or I don't know.
Let's Talk Death is being brought to you by Heal Grief, a 501c3. As a nonprofit, we are reliant on the kind generosity of our donors. If you are inspired by our mission, we ask you to go to healgrief.org/donations to help us continue our great work. No gift is too small.
That's a good point about the entertainment. You know, I think a lot of people, they're not so much afraid of death as of dying. And the way most of us die is not good. And that's a couple of our major programs focus on that, how to get the death you want, not die the way most of us do, which is usually not good. Yeah.
You actually quoted that you talk about how to avoid the bad death that many people experience, enabling everyone to obtain a good death.
Yes.
So what is a good death?
Well, I have a long list, but a good death, it would consist primarily of dying on your terms, when you want, how you want, usually at home, with loved ones present, having taken care of unfinished business, having, you know, done your will, got your financial affairs in order, having said your goodbyes, and so on. I have a list of about 30 factors that might go into that. But and the way most of us die is isolated in a hospital with God knows everything known unto womankind being done unto us, which some of us don't want done unto us. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And it's interesting because I had the fortune of speaking with
It includes dying without pain and in dignity and peacefully. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I had the fortune of meeting with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's son, who shared with me that in her research, she found that those who had the opportunity to say their goodbyes and mend differences and express their wishes actually had less of an agitated death than those who did not.
I believe that. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So very interesting. Very interesting. So I know that death by choice is limited to, I don't even know if it's a handful of states in the United States.
It's available in every state, actually.
Oh.
The physician aid in dying, which you're referring to, sometimes called medical aid in dying, is in about 8 states now. I think that includes D.C. But there are a lot of problems with those laws. They're all based on the same model, which means, A, you have to be terminally ill. Those who seek us out, many have a debilitating disease, but it may not be terminal. Cancer, neurological diseases like ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, Alzheimer's, which we now know is fatal. We didn't know that a few years ago. Mad cow disease, Guillain-Barré syndrome, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, respiratory illnesses like emphysema, degenerative afflictions like AIDS, Addison's disease, and others where, you know, that could take a course of years. In my experience, doctors are reluctant to pronounce people terminally ill. And by the time they do that, and you have to have two do that for it to qualify you for hospice and whatnot, you practically have one foot in the grave. And most of those who contact us don't want to wait till the degeneration is that far gone.
People want to be able to be in the condition where they can make those plans and do those things, say their goodbyes, and
exactly. And although we never encourage anybody to hasten their death, we do point out that they don't want to wait until they lose the window of opportunity.
Tell us a little bit about the book. Tell us a little bit about your book. Is it more of an existential exploration of being able to have the things in place that you want in place, or what would be the primary just focus of your book?
Empowering somebody, I guess, is the main point. But one of the strong points, it has a very thorough checklist. It's not very warm and fuzzy, very pragmatic. But what to do with impending death, everything from, who do you contact? How many copies of the death certificate do you need? It's very practical, but it's the most comprehensive list that I know of. There are a couple of others, retirement group has one. And
RP, yep.
RP, Funeral Consumers Alliance has one. But this is very comprehensive. The book is about that. And the book does not provide the means, equip you to get the means to enable your death.
Right.
But there
is
a new book out there which does. And I do want to mention that. And that is Derek Humphrey. You all know who Derek Humphrey is. He has a new book called Final Exit 2020. It's only available by downloading it from the ERGO website, Euthanasia Research Guidance Organization. And I wish that were in my book, but it's not. Yes.
go ahead.
John, we're just about out of time, but before we do, a lot of times our listeners want to know how they might connect with you, with your organization, with your work. If someone wanted to connect with you, how would they go about doing that?
Well, I would encourage your listeners to go to our website, which is www.choiceanddignity, with the and spelled out, choiceanddignity.org. I would encourage you to go to our website. You're welcome to email me at JLA, like John Larry Adam, VET, like Victor Edward Thomas, at earthlink.net. Or you can call me anytime. My phone number is 520-235-5646. 520-235-5646. Is that helpful?
Yes, John, thank you. We so appreciate that. Our listeners will so appreciate that should they want to connect. And we want to thank you for being our guest here at Let's Talk Death and for sharing your work and writing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your having me on, and keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you would like to learn more about Heal Grief, visit us at healgrief.org to find other conversations. Or to inquire about becoming a guest speaker, visit us at healgrief.org/letstalkdeath. And if you feel inspired to support us, remember, no gift is too small. Visit us at healgrief.org/donations, or you can donate right through our homepage. Well, that's it until next time on Let's Talk Death, where we normalize, educate, and demystify the taboo around death, dying, and the journey of grief.